Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the first one to share this morning is Annette. Would you like to share?
Thanks, Dave. Hi, my name's Annette and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Annette.
Hi, I just wanted to talk this morning about gratitude and AA and what it's done for me. 2.5 years ago, I came into AA and I came just to listen. I came because I felt that I was drinking in a way that wasn't acceptable for me any longer and I didn't know how to stop that. So for some reason, unbeknownst to myself, I looked up AA. I guess I had done a lot of the online tests to see if I was an alcoholic, and that was usually while I was having a glass of wine. So I rocked up to an AA meeting and listened and decided that I would keep coming back for 10 weeks I gave myself so that I could learn how to drink nicely. So I wasn't going to give up drinking because I wasn't an alcoholic. I was just someone that was sort of getting a bit nervous as to how I was drinking. So the insanity of this disease was there in front of me, but I didn't know it at the time. So I came for 10 weeks and I listened to lots of people share. And during that time, I shared that I wasn't an alcoholic, but I would just be listening as to how to go out there and drink nicely. So no one at that stage condemned me or suggested that I was insane in my thoughts, which I look back now and am so grateful for. Instead, people looked and were kind and gave me their phone numbers. And in particular, one person said to me, which was probably the most severe thing that they said, was that was a female about the same age as myself. Oh, well, you'll be back. And so at that point, I decided, well, I'm not going to that meeting anymore, and proceeded to go to other meetings and avoid that person. So I went out after 10 weeks, which is what I was going to do, and started back drinking nicely for about a week. And very quickly, that stepped up to where I was drinking before, which sort of wasn't what I wanted. So at that point, I made a decision to come back into AA and learn how to not drink at all. So this was a scary prospect because drinking for me was my way out of dealing with things. If I'd had a bad day, I drank. If I had a good day, I drank. If I was celebrating something, I drank. If I was sad about something, I drank. It was my way of coping. So back I came into AA. Again, nobody criticised what I had, the reason why I was back in again or what I had done. Just I was welcomed back in, and I sought out this particular girl who had said that I'd be back, and I asked her if she would be my sponsor. That was nearly 2 years ago, and she remains my sponsor, and now I have done the 12 steps, which are part of the AA program. So the very first one was admitting that we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. So the first time coming back in, I wasn't ready to admit that, and that's why I needed to go back out again and realise that my life had become unmanageable. The second step came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Coming back in again, I realised the insanity of my thought processes the first time, and am now able to be grateful for the program and continue on doing those 12 steps one day at a time. I'm not picking up that first drink, and I'm just so grateful that there's people in the AA program that I can work with and keep my sobriety and keep on working towards being a better person without that drink inside me. Okay. So how it is for me today, 2 years, nearly 2 years on from not picking up that one drink each day, that very first drink, which is sort of a strong ethos of AA, is just that not to pick up that first drink. If you don't pick up their first drink, then you're going to stay sober. And thinking about that drink has become less and less of a problem for me. In the beginning, when I first stopped drinking, 5 o'clock would rock around, and a drink for me was really important at that time. And now, of course, I don't even think about it. But when I first started, I would have a glass, and a wine glass, because that's how I used to drink from, what I drank from. I would get a wine glass and I would pour something into it, which looked like wine. Could be lemon juice or just anything that looked like the bit. And I would sit there and have that glass of wine. And for me, that kept me feeling okay about not having that first drink. 2 years on, I don't feel that I forget about it altogether. It's not important. I can go to functions. I can, you know, just... It just doesn't come into my thought processes at all. When I'm stressed, then I now have this program, this 12-step program, which you probably, if you look online, you can see those 12 steps. When I first came back into the program after that stint of being away, which I had decided definitely that I didn't need to come back in. I was always just going to be a nice drinker. So when I realised that was insanity and I came back in, I did the 12 steps pretty quickly because one of my defects is impatience. So I did those 12 steps in about 6 weeks and ticked the box and thought, right, well, I'll just move on. I realise now that moving on is just a life process, that it's not something that's going to happen overnight, that it's just part of my life now is just recognising my defaults and or defects and acknowledging them and making amends in terms of trying to minimise those, if you like, so that the people in my life are less affected by my defects. And I lead a pretty happy life right now. I have 8 fabulous, glorious grandchildren, 3 beautiful children myself that I'm very fortunate they don't, they're not affected by this disease and are all well-adjusted people in the community. And now I'm able to participate in their lives fully. I'm really grateful for this program. So I now have a sponsee that I look out for, and that gives me a lot of a joy to be able to help that person and to be of service to her in a way that my sponsor was and still is today, able to support me in my learning to live life without a drink, without that crutch, and looking at life on life's terms is just a great joy for me to actually be able to front up and live life as it should be lived without having to resort to a drink each time that things got tough. So today I have a really busy busy life, really, just enjoying it. So if you're listening today and wondering whether you have a problem or not, my best advice to you is to get along to an AA meeting. It's totally safe. You're just going to get support there. There's just nobody that's going to be pushing things on you. It's entirely up to you whether you accept the program or not. If you walk away, nobody's going to be chasing you. If you don't walk away, there are people there to help you, support you through, because that's what happened to me. I, as you know now, I went in knowing that I didn't need AA the first time, which I certainly did, and coming back into the program the second time, I felt totally at home and non-threatened by the fact that I had come in and come out again. It's just up to you as to how you, whether you want to stop taking that first drink each day, and AA is there to support you to do that if that's what you want. It's a program for alcoholics, and it's run by alcoholics, and so we have this common bond, and for that I'm truly grateful. The meetings are so honest. Anonymity is utmost and very important to everyone, and for that reason I feel really safe when I share. And so there's true honesty in the rooms. It's just a wonderful experience, and I'm almost grateful that I'm an alcoholic, because it just allows me to lead my life in an honest, open way. It's an ongoing program, just one day at a time, and that's the way I'm leading my life now, and for that I just am truly, truly grateful to AA.
All right. Thanks, Annette. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Brett, would you like to share?
Thank you, Steve. My name's Brent and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brent.
Really good to be able to come and share with the AA community online. I've been in AA for 2.5 years, and I have been sober all that time. I sobered up in June of 2015, after practically losing about 2.5 years of my life in serious addiction, escapism and avoidance. My drinking came to a head with problems manifesting themselves to the point where I was acting out, and it was affecting my day-to-day life and my day-to-day living. I would fulfill my obligations. I was working, and I've remained to work through my problems, but between fulfilling obligations prior to stopping drinking, my time outside of my obligation and family commitments was spent drinking and with avoiding reality. I was living in fantasy. My story is unique to me, but my common problem, which I feel comfort in finding connection with AA members, is the same. I hear my story and my suffering and others in an AA room, and that has brought me the only comfort in my adult life. And, you know, prior to AA, I was seeking comfort through other various means. I'd done a lot of counselling and psychotherapy, different courses, different church courses, but none of those gave me the foundations to reform my thinking and to basically give me tools to manage myself. My problem, as long as I can remember, has always been discomfort or an imbalance inside of me. I always felt very different from a very young age. So I do feel that my alcoholism has been with me since childhood. It's in my DNA. I will never deny the fact that at the end of the day, I'm an alcoholic and I have that disease. My story, though, is intertwined with issues from my childhood, and an environment where I was led from an early age to manage myself in such a way where I had to control my environment. I had a very harsh childhood where I had to learn very early on that to survive, I had to adjust myself to suit somebody else. So I would people please. And in people pleasing, I lost my true self. And I people pleased and was what everybody wanted me up to be up until, you know, I turned 40. I'm 42 now, 43 this year. So my problems manifested and developed. And as I went into adulthood, the only way that I could find comfort was to escape and avoid. I was losing myself in all parts of my life. I was very high functioning. I was successful in my career. But those issues within me were distressing, and really I didn't know who I was. So outside of fulfilling those obligations that I've talked about, I would run and find comfort. And my alcoholism and my the alcohol brought me a comfort that was temporary, and for a long time that worked for me. But the recourse from that was I got sicker and sicker. My emotions got more distorted. My emotions were like on elastic bands. Somebody with normal emotions can manage themselves well, but mine were extended. I would care too much. I would love too much. I would work too much. I would drink too much. I would eat too much. And it got to the point where everything was out of control and I had a number of breakdowns. Those breakdowns were very hurtful to me. I lost my job in 2012 and subsequently lost a second job about 2 months later. I drank more and more, but I was not functioning well. I was avoiding and escaping to the point where I was pushing everybody away. I was drinking in a car. In the end, I was trying to find places where I could drink without anybody noticing, and I would walk around a local cemetery drunk. My behaviour was becoming more and more isolated and obscure, and it was very scary. It was really scary. I got to the point where I was so unwell, I was having panic attacks in a car, driving by myself. I was hungover to the point where I was very sick. And it came to a point where, you know, I had to get to a point where I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired that I would do something about it. I honestly did not think I could live a life without comforting myself in some way. It's quite surreal how my problems manifested to a point where I sought help from a psychiatrist. At first I didn't listen. She told me to stop my drinking and I needed to get some help with my anxiety, because my anxiety was fueling my addiction. So after finally feeling so sick and realising that I couldn't control my environment and I couldn't control people and I couldn't control things, that I had to accept that I wasn't in control and I couldn't be running on self-will anymore, I finally, through a long, hard battle, gave up. And giving up and surrendering for me was the most beautiful gift that God has given me. Because by giving up, before I felt like I was getting out of bed every day ahead of myself, and I would almost like be walking ahead of myself, controlling my way forward, adjusting myself to suit. Since stopping drinking and surrendering and being, I believe, what God's asking me to be, to accept who I am and to sit within myself with comfort, I walk forward in one body. I am who I am. I'm accepting all situations as they are, which is hard because I've got a past and I've hurt people and, you know, I've affected people and I've done things that I'm not proud of. In page 83 of the Big Book, it says that we will not regret our past or wish to close the door on it. Now, I have not got to that point yet. There are things in my past that haunt me today and I'm very sorry for, you know, the people I've affected, but I've learned that I can't control how another person acts. I can't take back what I've done, and all I can do is move forward, and I have to stop almost being sorry and honour that by action. And the only way forward for me now is action. It's not saying what I'll do, it's doing what I'll do. AA is now a big part of my life. I generally do 3 or 4 meetings a week, depending on my workload. Every day I try, and it's a very hard minute-by-minute battle to take myself will away and walk forward with God's will, not Brent's will. I'm very content with what I've got. The gratitude that I have is looking what I've got and what I've gained, and moving forward and sitting within myself in peace. I now want for nothing. I'm now trying to associate myself with people like me. I'm very sensitive, so, you know, putting myself in an environment with harsh people has a negative effect on me. I try to do everything I can to manage myself and to be the best person I can be. And AA has given me the tools to do that. I'm very, very grateful. I've got a wonderful sponsor that has been with me since the start of 2015 when I began to stop drinking, and he has given me a guideline and advice and care to adjusting myself. So pausing and reflecting and moving forward slowly is one of the gifts that I've got, and I'm very grateful for this program. So it's not easy to share, it's not easy to do AA on air, but I'm grateful for the opportunity, and it's good to be here with you today, Steve. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Brett. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. This morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last one to share this morning is Adam. Would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'm Adam, alcoholic.
Hi, Adam.
Yeah, my experience with alcoholism, I guess, well, the drink alcohol started when I was quite young, still at school. I remember drinking, first time with some friends, and we had a bit of a party. And then I remember thinking to myself, you know, this has sort of unlocked a new chapter for me, and I was going to run with it. Over the next 8 or 9 years, slowly but steadily, alcohol started to consume all areas of my life. Took over my sporting aspirations, my work, my studies. It damaged my relationships with friends and family. And in the end, I had to seek help in AA. I did go through a rehab program, which AA was connected to at the time. That's when I first got introduced to the fellowship, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and the AA meetings. Yes, that was almost 4 years ago now that I have stopped drinking. And it's been a slow and steady journey back to good health. I can't say I'm 100% well. It's still a one day at a time sort of gig for me. Yeah, but I've managed to get back on my feet without the use of alcohol. Yeah, so it's a vast sort of fellowship, and my experience with all that drinking keeps me in the fellowship of AA and keeps me on a path that's actually worth living. Yeah, I was slowly committing suicide by installments. I was putting, you know, myself at risk, and I was sort of compared to the vacuum. It sucked everything good from my life. And I'm not like a normal drinker. Like, I can't go to the bar and have a couple drinks. I can't go to a party or just have a few on a Friday night. You know, I'm an alcoholic, and absolute abstinence is the only answer for me. And with the other things that I need to do on a daily basis, like I had to form a relationship with a sponsor or a mentor, it's another word for it. And people within our network in AA and really get into the you know, the work of it. It's not a thinking thing, it's an acting thing for me. Like, I make sure that I'm doing something every day on a daily basis to make sure that I don't pick up that first drink again. And it's really enjoyable. Like in my early days, it was hard. Like I was adjusting. My health wasn't too good. Everything was, oh, how would I explain it, like in and out, sort of very, very difficult, probably physically, mentally and emotionally. I had to go through a lot of underlying things that were contributing to me destroying my life, to put it simply. I've managed to get back a lot of good things now, like I've got my own little business. You know, I've got a house. I'm only saying this is because it's what's been a result of me stopping, as I've been able to get things back that I'd lost. Yes, it's all paid off, the benefits of it. It's a lifelong thing. Like, I'll never graduate from AA. I'll never get a degree in AA. I'll never get a certificate to say, oh, you're finished now, see you later. It's a lifelong thing. Which makes it real. It's a good challenge because the spiritual principles that I have to live by are lifelong sort of things that I've got to keep moving towards. They're quite high ideals, so I don't think anyone ever reaches them fully. That's why I see people allow 60. I met a guy who was 60 years sober, and he's 20 years sober, 10 years, or even 30 days. Or the first day. So it's a very well set out sort of gig we're in. And it's a structure, like it's a worldwide fellowship. It's not small. Like I started small when I just met a few people in AA and it sort of opened my eyes a bit. And as I kept going further and further and asking more questions, being inquisitive as to what it was about. And yes, I've managed to find out that this is all over the world and it's not uncommon. Like the disease alcoholism is actually registered as a medical illness in the Psychiatric Foundation. So you're not alone out there if you're listening and you have a problem with alcohol. I thought I was sort of unique, but I found that to be false information, that there's many of people who struggle with alcohol and have been able to recognise it as alcoholism, because there's a difference. Yeah, but we've got literature in our fellowship. There's books that we read from that is a basic sort of text, which gives us the rundown on what I suffer from. I get told I have a physical allergy, so when I take alcohol in any form at all, forms a mental obsession. So yeah, it's a good gig. Yeah, there's plenty of meetings around. I hope to see you around. I'm in Auckland, so if I see you around at any gigs, just come say hello. Thank you.
Great, thanks Adam. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with our speakers this morning and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you could log on to aa.org.nz and in the drop-down box under the meetings list, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area where we have over 140 meetings each week, or there's a list of meetings right throughout the whole country. Or the other thing you can do is phone 0800 AA Works, and that will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. The 0800 number covers all of New Zealand. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.